Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we talk about the week's big political stories. I'm Mike Siluma, and thanks for joining us. This week, the Politics Weekly looks at the question of ethics in political and other leadership in society. Why? Because, as you may know, the ANC's Mpumalanga province has decided to elect among its leadership someone who is facing charges of murder. Flying in the face of President Cyril Ramaphosa's campaign to clean up the party's tarnished public image. This is what Ramaphosa had to say to the voting delegates.
During the course of your elections, you took the step of, yes, also endorsing and electing one of the comrades who is facing charges. Now, I know that you have reflected on this and you are going to do further reflection. This matter does need your reflection as a disciplined membership of this organization. Your reflection must be based on the decisions that have been taken by our national conference. But your reflection must also be based on the decisions that have also been taken by the National Executive Committee, which is the highest decision-making body in between conferences, in the form of democratic centralism.
Let's welcome now our guests for this conversation, Sibonga Gonke-Shoba, who's the Sunday Times Politics Editor, as well as William Gumete, who's Associate Professor at the School of Governance at Wits University.
With immediate effect.
When people saw
us, and I quote, in 2 years' time, Eskom's problems will be a thing of the past. People won't even remember load shedding, unquote.
They put saliva on the paper.
I'm in charge. That's why these fools are running around here. I'm in charge.
And then they share that zone.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Order, Chairperson.
Point of order.
The ruling party by
point
of order.
Must step aside within 30 days.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
He has no brains whatsoever.
The ANC president was sabotaged again yesterday.
Well, sabotage, that can be
this
determined.
This is not a shit.
Arms, can you please come in?
Shoba, let us start with you. Could you unpack for us how the election went in the conference over the weekend in Mpumalanga and what it means for the power balance in the province itself?
Thank you so much, Pramak, for inviting me. So there are different interpretations of what happened at the weekend, Pramak, depending on who you talk to. But what is clear is that David Mabuza was the biggest loser of last weekend's elections in Mpumalanga because his preferred candidates lost out. And word is that he only has a few people in the PEC that he can count on, one of them being the former deputy president of the ANC Youth League, Dennis Desmond Moela. But all the people that won the positions in the top five are actually people who were once allies of David Mabuza and have since had a fallout with David Mabuza. So I was saying there were different interpretations because if you talk to the RET faction, they would tell you that...
The RET faction is which crowd? Maybe for us who are uninitiated.
So the RET faction is the grouping that is anti-President Ramaphosa. It is the group that is more aligned to Ace Magashule, and it's the group that is more sympathetic to President Jacob Zuma. And it's the group that is likely to support Zweli Mkhize. So that's the grouping that I'm talking about. And they are claiming victory after that conference because the top six, the top five that emerged there, you have Lindi Wentalinjali, who was the secretary under Mabuza, but who is an ace person through and through, who has been seen in court in Bloemfontein supporting Ace Magashule. And they are saying that her inclusion in that top five tells you that they scored a victory. And they are claiming that the others are also with them, but they won't come out publicly, which is an ANC thing of saying that you have support but won't be declared publicly because people fear being victimized. And then you have the Ramaphosa faction, the second termers, who are claiming victory because the man who's been elected as the chairman has publicly said that if Ramaphosa stands for a second term, he will gladly back Cyril Ramaphosa and campaign for him. And he repeated those words immediately after being elected last week. So that was it. That's what happened. But Mike, for this discussion, what happened is that despite the ANC having told us that it is embarked on a program of renewal and for to clean up its image so that it regains the public trust. And other attempts to say that we would look at the kind of leadership that we elect, that these are the people who have the confidence of society. Last week, they elected Mandla Msibi, a man who is facing a murder charge for allegedly shooting someone at Shisanyana. He was elected the provincial treasurer. And this happens at a conference that Ramaphosa later came to deliver a closing address. And in his closing address, he told the delegates to reflect on their decision to elect someone like Msibi. But it was too late. Msibi is elected. They have moved to sort of write to him and say that he must step aside from his position. But it's an after effect. It's an after effect kind of. It's a reactive kind of an approach to such an important issue as making sure that you elect the kind of leaders who can be trusted by the people that you are claiming to be leading, as the ANC claims to be the leader of society. So it continues, Bramike. If you look at what happened last week, the renewal project of the ANC remains rhetoric. It's not being applied. And Cyril Ramaphosa promised us a new dawn, but even under that new dawn, people who have questionable integrity and ethics are being appointed to very influential positions.
Mm. Professor Kumede, this can be very confusing at times, you know, because on the one hand, it can appear as if Cyril Ramaphosa has got has gained control, say, over the NEC and generally over the structures, the formal structures of the ANC. And then on the other hand, you have a province like Mpumalanga deciding to vote the way it voted. What could be happening there in the ANC?
Thank you for having me on the program again. I think the most important thing is now is in this run-up to conference, you have to understand in a run-up to an ANC elective conference, really there's almost, let's call it a power vacuum during that period. It's almost like running in a run-up to a national election. It's a power vacuum. So even if you were the president of the party and you were in control, in that run-up, you know, there's uncertainty because you need to be re-elected. And in order for the president to be re-elected as the ANC president, he needs to get the delegates from the provinces. So and so on. So I think we've got a period now, and until the conference takes place, where, you know, it's going to be paralysis, there's going to be a power vacuum, and the president is not going to have his grip on the party because, you know, he has to make compromises now to get re-elected. But what it does is all of, you know, this shows us clearly that, you know, all of the statements, public statements by the ANC about renewal and that they're going to use this process in the run-up to the party's conference, you know, to clean up, bring in fresh candidates, bring in honors candidates and so on. I mean, you know, that's rhetoric. And the reality of it, in this case, supposedly the ANC was supposed to screen potential candidates beforehand, not afterwards. So what does it tell us? It tells us that, you know, there's been no screening at all of any candidates, as promised, by the ANC, before. But what we'll see, I think, you know, this so-called renewal is going to bring the same corrupt people, the same dishonest people. And this supposed to be this reforms to bring a capable state will bring us the same corrupt people and the same incompetent people, and then unfortunately we're going to have state failure and party failure.
So I'm going to get it. What is the likely impact of what transpired over the weekend in Mpumalanga on the run up to the December conference? In other words, how significant will Mpumalanga be in that scenario as a province?
Obviously, it's going to set the tone for what happens in future conferences. Firstly, the outcome, what it means in the sense of looking at the presidential race right now, it really gives hope to the second termers that there is likely hope that it actually ignite the fires in other provinces, and now they have an elected, a legitimate chairman who's freshly elected, and who will be able to mobilize not only in Mpumalanga, but now has the authority to engage and lobby leaders in other provinces and other regions to say, this is the program that we are supporting. That's one. Secondly, Bramike, the election of Mandla Msibi sets a very bad precedent going forward, and it's about to repeat itself in KwaZulu-Natal this weekend, where another leader of the ANC who's facing very serious allegations of corruption is standing for a position of chairman to lead one of the most influential regions in the country, eThekwini region, which is the biggest region in terms of numbers of ANC within the ANC. If the numbers that people are talking about, that it has around 100,000 members, and the ANC, let's say, it has 1 million members, that's a lot for a region. And it means that it has a lot of influence. And to have someone like Zandile Gumede standing there, it's a continuation of what happened last week in Mpumalanga. And it's not going to stop other tainted leaders within this governing party to stand for election. And what does it mean? It means there is no renewal. It can only serve to further erode public trust that that ANC has been losing. That's the danger of what is happening under Cyril Ramaphosa, and that spells danger for him, that public trust is eroded by the election of tainted leaders, and he might not come back as president of his country. He might come back as a president of the ANC, but that just be it. He'll be one-term president of the country, and unless they do something urgently to show that they are serious about this renewal that they are talking about, that's where we are headed. We are headed to a scenario where President Ramaphosa might just be re-elected as ANC president, but not as president of the country, because the public is saying, who are you coming with? You claim to be clean. You claim to be coming here to clean up the mess, but it continues even under your watch.
I was rather surprised by his response. You know, earlier on we played a clip of what he said to the vote, to the delegates, you know, after they made the after the election. He seemed to be taking an unusually hard line, even though he was putting it in his typically diplomatic kind of way, you know. Or am I misreading what he was trying to do? I mean, usually he would defer to a collective or NEC or processes and stuff, but on this occasion he seems to be quite direct about his disapproval of how the voting went.
It's just rhetoric, but Mike, what is he going to do? Are they going to call a special provincial general council in Mpumalanga to have fresh elections? What is he going to do? That's what he's supposed to tell us. It's not enough to say someone has stepped aside when that person is still holding that position. It's not enough to say a person is not active when the position is no one else is occupying the position. And I think the time for such rhetoric and empty promises is it's over, Bramike. I don't think the South Africans should accept someone who takes a hard stance after the fact. What did he do when he heard that Mandla Msibi was standing? That's what he should tell us. What is he doing right now that Zandile Gumede is standing in KwaZulu-Natal? What actions have they taken to say, but we can't afford to have someone like Zandile Gumede leading the ANC down?
Professor Gumede, Esbonga Gonke is skeptical about whether the ANC as a party is serious about fighting corruption and unethical practices, and whether President Ramaphosa actually can prevail, and whether he himself is serious, you know, about fighting corruption. What is your reading?
I mean, you know, I agree with him in terms of that clearly, if President Ramaphosa was so serious about corruption, he would have intervened beforehand. I don't think as a president, I mean, these are key provincial elections, and I suspect, you know, his strategists would have and advisors would have informed him of the way things stand before the elections, and he should have intervened. And even after the fact, he could still have intervened, but much stronger. So, I mean, his response, as far as I'm concerned, has been very weak. What he should have said immediately thereafter in his speech, he should have said, you know what, let's call a special provincial meeting or call on the person to resign immediately and step in. And so on. I think that is what the public want to see. That's, I think, even, you know, honors ANC members and supporters, what they will want to see, much more, much stronger intervention. I also agree that it's very likely that we may see, I mean, this will set the tone, this Mpumalanga conference, for what's going to, I think what we're going to see in the other provinces. So I think there's going to be, we may also see, if we see more of these type of ethically challenged people get onto the nominations and they get elected, we may see also that people may go to court. I mean, we've seen that ahead of the Nasre conference, that people will go to court. But that will also open up, of course, for people like Ace Makasule. Remember, he went to the courts and he was suspended and so on. Now, for people like him who have been pushed aside, they will come back now and say, well, look, he's somebody who is criminally charged, standing, and, what's wrong with me to return? And of course, I mean, a national conference of the ANC, a person like Ace Makasule can actually approach the conference itself, because one can, if you're a member of the ANC, approach the conference even against the courts and say, look, I want to be reinstated here at a conference. So if the tone is set where corrupt people can be nominated and even elected, as the case now in Mpumalanga with Mantla Msibi, it really will open the floodgates for others who are also corrupt or being charged, and even those who've already been pushed aside to return to the fold.
And what's your reading of Cyril Ramaphosa? You know, why would he nail his colors to the mast of an anti-corruption campaign, you know, if he knows he can't win it?
You know, it's a reason why he should nail his mask to show that he is a anti-corruption fighter. That is if he wants to become the country president again. Now, to become the ANC president, of course, now he needs to be soft on corruption, because clearly, from his point of view, it seems, if from an outsider, if I look at it, it seems that he thinks, well, actually, to be anti-corruption in the run-up to ANC conference is not going to win him votes inside the ANC. Okay, that may be the case, but to be seen to be not against corruption by the public, he's not going to become the next president. So it would be, he may win the ANC presidency on the basis of being soft on corruption so that he can get all of the factions behind him. But that would mean he will be the president of the ANC, but then not the president of the country thereafter, because the country will reject him. I think that is really his dilemma. It's a choice here now for him. Is he going to cover up or be soft on corruption in the ANC to get re-elected as ANC president, and then he gets re-elected, but then does not get elected as a president of the country because people see him as soft or tolerant of corruption?
Yes, Mwakonga, you know, often when we talk about the ANC, you know, we refer to corruption and the ANC is corrupt, you know, it supports corrupt, especially because of the evidence that we have seen, you know, whether it's about the PPE scandal or the arms deal or any of those scandals. Are there people in the ANC who are, I know earlier you said this is all rhetoric, but are there people in the ANC who genuinely are opposed to corruption and would like to fix things?
Right, that's what we would like to believe. That's what we are made to believe, that the the Ramaphosa faction was about. They campaigned on a ticket of anti-corruption, an anti-corruption ticket that eventually won them the conference in Nasrec. But it's been the actions that has that promise has not translated into action, Bramaik. Our justice system has been very slow to move against people who are accused of corruption, as evidence is contained in the Zondo Commission report. But in addition to that, even within the ANC, the ANC has been very slow in dealing with people who accused of corruption, who are accused of wrongdoing. And there is a sense that the current ANC, although it says it's anti-corruption, it's tolerant to people who are accused of corruption. It's precisely because the people who are accused of corruption are found across the board. It's not just one faction that is corrupt. There are people in Ramaphosa's camp who are being accused of being corrupt. And if you say that you are going to be tough on corruption, it means you have to be tough on your own comrades. And I think sometimes that we shouldn't expect the Ramaphosa grouping to be tough on corruption. Firstly, because they want their president to come back for a second term. And if you want to be re-elected, you don't want to step on many toes. Because when you do that, it means fewer and fewer people are going to campaign and eventually vote for you going to conference. So we are told that there are people who are anti-corruption, but the processes within the ANC seem to be making it difficult for those people who are telling us that they're anti-corruption, for them to deal with corruption. Because if you say that you're going to deal with the Mandla Msibi did not get elected just because he's handsome. He got elected because he's got a support base in Mpumalanga, and it's that support base that went to that conference and made sure that he gets elected. It is the same support base that will go to the national conference and elect a president. So that is why someone like Cyril Ramaphosa will only speak after Mandla Msibi has been elected, because you don't want Mandla Msibi to tell his support base not to vote for Cyril Ramaphosa.
So the step aside resolution, in the final analysis, you know, is it would you say it's worth the paper it's written on, Sibongiseni?
Clearly, it's not, Bramaik, because on the other hand, we have step aside as a resolution. On the other hand, you have unity as a resolution. Now, where do you draw the line? Who are you uniting with? As President Mbeki was saying in one of the meetings, that who are you uniting with? Are you uniting with thieves? So Cyril Ramaphosa is really skating on thin ice. He is telling us that he is fighting corruption, there's renewal, but at the same time, he needs to show the ANC members that there is this unity, that unity that comes at a cost, not just for him, but for his party going into to the 2024 general elections.
Mm. Professor Kumede, just to round off, you know, we've been talking for the better part of our conversation about, essentially we're talking about ethics in leadership. You know, to my mind, it seems to be, that's what it boils down to. Now, is it reasonable, in your view, for us to expect, expect to have politicians who are ethical? In other words, who will put ethics above political interest or political gain?
No, it's absolutely fundamental that we get ethical leaders, because, you know, the tone of ethics in a society is set by the political leadership. I mean, your political parties like the ANC, ANC is a governing party. What the tone set by the ANC, it really is the tone that will permeate not only in the state, but also in the country. So the ANC, if the ANC have an unethical culture, because the ANC is so dominant, the state will have an unethical culture because the ANC is almost like a party state, you know. And then also society will also be systematically corrupt or behave unethically. I mean, I gave last week the keynote address to the South African Law Society. And it's quite interesting because, you know, the organizations that engage with the state that are non-state, you know, for procurement or getting state contracts. Now, if the state and the ANC is corrupt, even those organizations become corrupt also because they have to behave corruptly in order to get contracts. So it is absolutely important that it all starts. The corruption starts with the leadership of the ANC, the kind of leadership that the ANC elect. If the ANC is a governing party, it will be any other governing party. I mean, if the DA comes to power and they have unethical leaders, that will also be then the tone of the country. So I think society expect ethical leaders, because without ethical leaders, you know, we slide into the corruption that we see now. We slide into state failure. We have the state that is not capable, because and it's you know, all to do. It all starts rather with unethical leaders.
Okay. Well, this is where we wrap it up this week on the Politics Weekly. And we do so by thanking our guests, Sibongiseni Keshoba, who's the Sunday Times Politics Editor, as well as William Gumede, who's Associate Professor at the School of Governance at Wits University. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, do remember to stay safe, sanitize, wear the mask, and be extra careful in crowded places, especially indoors.